You're listening to one in a series of podcasts from the 2009 High Ed Web Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this social network that we installed as part of our prospective student and admitted student portal, and talk a little bit about how that went, how we set it up. It's got some technical aspects to it, as well as some marketing slash admission slash design. So hopefully there's a little bit for everybody, but not too general. So really quickly, if you haven't heard of Ithaca College before, I have to aim it this way, sorry. I aimed it up here. It's a private school. It's about 6,400 students. It's upstate New York, same place where Cornell is, which you probably have heard of. I'm going to talk a little, this is just the overview of what I'm going to talk about. Just a quick introduction to the My Ithaca portal, just so you have a sense for what that is, the technologies that particular application uses, and then IC Peers, which is the brand name that we gave for the social network that we added to the portal. A little bit about how we went about integrating social features, how we involved the campus community, which was as formidable as building this thing, and some of the outcomes and some stats about how that worked. And then finally, I'll wrap it up just to talk about how we're transitioning those students from the social network that's part of the prospective student portal into the social network that we just released that's part of our campus portal. So, oh gosh, I gotta aim it down here. That's so counterintuitive. All right, so about My Ithaca. Just really quickly, My Ithaca follows the admission funnel. So we have a different visual or feature-wide state for each of these different parts of the system. So as a student progresses through the admission funnel, My Ithaca changes, the feature set changes, etc. So this is pretty standard, I think. The accept paid matric part is where the social network comes into play. There are some features related to user accounts for inquiries or people before they actually apply, but those are much more limited. All right, so really quickly, My Ithaca has some, it's more like a website than it is a portal for the most part, but it does have user accounts. And there's some articles that are targeted at these specific audiences, et cetera, frequently asked questions, and, you know, store the ones you care about the most, MyFacts, et cetera. The most important things are the application checklist, targeted announcements, and then once a student obviously becomes accepted, we introduce the IC Peers social network, which is a much more attractive feature and keeps people involved. Really quick, this is just a quick look at what it looks like if you just signed up for a brand new account, so you became an inquirer. This is the first non-accepted view. There's some information about the major that you're interested in that actually goes into Banner, as well as some dates and things that are upcoming that might be of interest. I had mentioned a couple features that were available to people all throughout this cycle, and we have a student-produced magazine that's primarily enrollment used, and we have it integrated so that students who register with the portal can comment and interact with current students on stories that are in this site, which is also a print magazine. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the technologies that underlie the portal. This My Ithaca has actually been around since 2000, and it used to go against our legacy student information system, and then we upgraded it to go against Banner when we installed that at the school. And basically, the way that it's set up from a technical perspective is that we have a, my group works in ITS, but we're sort of the web development group. There's a system, you know, programmer analysts and DBAs as well. So we don't store any institutional SIS data in any of our databases. That's just a given, a rule. So the way we set up My Ithaca is that there's some SOAP-based web services, and we control the whole presentation layer and do all of the interaction, the login, and updating information in Banner directly through those SOAP web services. So and that's worked really, really well. It's been fast and flexible, and it puts things where they belong, so everybody's happy. There is some MySQL playing a role in here because we do some logging and some things that are not obviously storing SIS data, but just helpful sort of side information. And our directory at the college, our Sun One LDAP directory, also plays a role for authentication of people who aren't Banner students or prospects. Cool. All right, so this is what the presentation's about. IC Peers, as I mentioned, is the brand name for our prospective student, our accepted student, sorry, social network. And we had had some sort of vendor solution that was an externally hosted thing that we tried to integrate with for a couple years. And it was moderately successful, even though it was super clunky and kind of poorly written. And it didn't give us the data that we really wanted from it. So it was like, oh, well, it seemed like it went well, but we couldn't get any data from them that was useful. But it's the potential seemed there that we thought, you know, if we could have data, we could really justify that this is something worthwhile. Once a student logs in after being accepted, the interface obviously changes. And what we're using the social network. Obviously, it has its own value, but we're also using it as a way to drive students back into the portal. And so we focused this dashboard, which is the first screen they see, on really having like key information, just really focusing on utility. It kind of gets rid of the marketing spiel. And we have what was interesting, and a lot of people might find this interesting as well. Let me just skip to the next slide, show it a little bigger. Nope, aim it here. There we go. Sorry. Each of these different blocks, especially the news and notices, what we did this year, which was really, really successful, is that we have a content management system that we use to power the public website. And it allows us to create different instances of like a news module. And what we did is we created specific instances that were targeted just at this accepted student population and gave them to different offices. So admission had one, ResLife had one, New Student Programs had one. And so that they could use this as a way to funnel this news directly at the students. And because they were using it all the time, it was a great way to get that information in front of them but distribute it so there wasn't any kind of extra, we need to let them in or give them special access, et cetera. We also had some important dates that was managed by admission. And then the right column here is sort of like the social network activity and notifications. So as I mentioned, we had used a vendor product for a couple of years, and it was really, really limited. But people used it anyways, which was kind of surprising. But when today's different, obviously, than 2 years ago. We know that. We were convinced that it was worth doing something a little bit more robust. We wanted to take it a step further. The college was pretty supportive of that, but they said, do not build something. There's got to be something out there that does this already, you know, which I'm sure people have heard before. And understandably, we wanted it to be really integrated, so that was one of the... We did look at Ning, decided that integration wasn't something that was a strong point there. And also the data that we were able to extract wasn't quite what we wanted. And also the people who were responsible for the Banner system were like, what, you want to upload this to some third-party site? No. So that wasn't a popular option. So we did look for some software that we could host ourselves and ended up choosing this software called Social Engine. I don't know if anybody's heard of it before, socialengine.net. It's like really, really inexpensive, you know, kind of the thing where you're like, well, we found this really great software. It's $300. Do you think we can buy it? And they're like, what? It's $300. Can it possibly be good? But it is good. And it's written in PHP, MySQL. And so as a result of this choice, the primary project was about integration from a design perspective and also integrating it with Banner and the rest of the information that comes from the student information system. So one of the questions that kept coming up was, like, why are we doing this? You know, people are going to be on Facebook. They want to use Facebook. This is a stupid waste of time and money because nobody's going to use it anyways. And this question came up over and over again. Like, we'd convince people that it was a good idea, and then, like, a couple months later, they'd be like, is this really a good idea? Like, why are we doing this? And we had a little bit of data, like I said, from before, but not quite as much as we would have liked. But we ended up making the argument, and we ended up being right, thank goodness, that there was a reason for having a community that was separate from the other outside world community and Facebook and things. One is that it was just accepted students to Ithaca College for the class of 2013, which it's not impossible to isolate that group on Facebook, but at the stage where we first entered people into this, they didn't have their Ithaca College email addresses, so there was no way to really say, I definitely know you're an Ithaca College person. It was sort of like go on trust, like create a group called the Class of 2013 and anybody in the world can join it. That's not quite that. It doesn't give you quite the sense of security and safety. Whereas by having an application that the college runs and owns, you know, people come in with a trust that they see all these other people and they know that they've been accepted for the class. So that creates a certain kind of trusted environment. And from our perspective institutionally, you know, the idea of saying, hey, 50 faculty, go sign up for a Facebook account and let's teach you how to use it to interact with these incoming students, that didn't really seem like it was going to be too viable. But by having a tool that we controlled, made it so that they could just log in with their existing email, username, and password and sort of simplified it, that made it much more attractive. And as a result, we were able to get a lot of involvement from campus constituencies. The other thing is that we had people in there that could answer questions, and they were obviously authoritative, so they knew. There were students who could give real applicable answers or their own experiences about things, and that became a really powerful tool. The other thing was that because we linked it to, integrated it with Banner Data, if you were accepted into the biology major or a specific major, you know, just like on any other sort of like standard social networking profile, if you click on that major, it brings up a result of everybody who's in that major. And because we had some of that information that we could, you know, present absolutely consistently about different students, it made it really easy for people to find others with the same major, same interest, same school, same hometown, whatever the case might be, or any combination of those. But that was something that we couldn't do. We didn't include gender in the search, but it ended up being sort of a dating site anyways. Yeah. You know, we tried. Yeah. So just really quick, this is some things that, for those of you who are more in enrollment services kind of divisions, it definitely helped to facilitate connections between the students and the staff, especially the admission counselors. Needless to say, because of the relationships that were built using this tool, this transition and the cohesiveness of the incoming class was a pretty strong advantage over any previous year that we've had. So here's a list of the features that we ended up implementing as part of our social network software. There were others that we did not. I made them bigger if they were like more popular and smaller if they weren't quite so popular. Really, people used it as a way to meet other people. That was the primary function, which was really the reason that we did it in the first place. But we did have some discussion forums. We had groups, and it was open. Anybody could create a group. Anybody could create discussion. There was no sort of like, oh, if you're an Ithaca College person, you can start this discussion. It was really open for everybody. Some private messaging, which was used more for questions. People, I think, knew that they wanted to ask a question about financial aid, but didn't necessarily want to ask it in front of everybody. So that was a feature that ended up being helpful to have. One thing that is unfortunate is that there's like so many amazing screenshots that I have of things that happened or people's profiles and the way they customize them. And I'm not really at liberty to show you a lot of those because I don't have photo releases from all these students, so I apologize because they weren't, you know, officially at the college yet. But so I'll show you my profile. I'm not nearly as exciting. But just so you get a sense for what the profile looked like, the green thing is a choice that I made. There's a couple different colors we allowed them to pull from. But you have your wall, and then this is activity feed. Talks about stuff that I've been doing, my groups and photo, etc. I have a bunch of other screenshots just to give you a sense of what it looked like. This is a student ambassador, which was we had. That's what we called the students that were current, that were in there interacting. And so I can show her. And I'll talk a little bit more about how that was all set up later. There's a faculty member. And so this was my photo albums. That's my dog, Josie. She's very cute. Groups. This was the house group, which was the most popular group. I started it. Woo! And this isn't social network related, except sort of. We had this whole slew of articles that were very targeted at this specific audience, and they were written by sort of a combination of Marcom admission writers, editors, and these all had comments on them so that the students could comment on the articles or ask questions to clarify things, which was nice. This is what the discussion forum area looked like. the bookmarks, I just want to point out one thing. I think this is probably obvious, but if there was any feature that didn't have some sort of callback where they would get email notified of every single thing that happened, it didn't work. Like, it was a total dead feature. So really, the only ones that worked well were where you said, oh, I start a discussion, and then when you get a reply, you get an email about it, because it just keeps bringing people back. And where there were things like groups where that wasn't a feature of every part of the groups module, those parts just didn't have anything happen. You know, somebody would go in and maybe start something, and then it died. So that was, we ended up going in after the fact and adding that where it was missing, because it was pretty important. So integration, this was one of the trickiest things. So as I mentioned, we had, you know, their major and things like that that came from the Banner Student Information System. And yet we also wanted people to be able to put in other information about themselves. So what we ended up doing was we set up a system where on a given user profile, there were certain fields that were essentially pre-populated or could not be edited as part of their profile. And those are the ones that came from Banner. And what we would do is we set it up so that as a student logged in, it would do a reconciliation against that data to make sure that if their major had changed or some other information that's on the profile, that we would update that right then. And then we also ran a nightly job that just went through and compared everybody to make sure that, because obviously your presence in the social network is real even if you don't log in for 4 weeks. So we wanted to make sure that that profile was accurate even if the student wasn't logging in. We had fields that were not from Banner, and those were stored in MySQL, and nobody had a problem with that. So, but what we were doing is essentially updating the MySQL tables that came with the social engine software that we were using, and used our ID number from Banner as their ID number, which happened to work because the field was long enough in the database. We didn't even have to change that. So that was kind of handy. Another aspect of it was that we actually were really running two separate applications. We had our PHP front-end application, and then there was a social engine application. It had its own session management. It had its own login, et cetera. So one of the things that we had to do was tie those together so that when you logged into MyEthica, you were automatically logged into Social Engine, and vice versa if you logged out. So we made it so that there was some session sharing there, obviously not just the login and logout, but all of the identity information, because there were things on both that were sort of cross. So there was social network stuff that was pulled out to our application pages and vice versa. And it made it relatively straightforward once we got that figured out. From a design perspective, it really wasn't that tough. Social Engine uses Smarty, and I assume most people have probably at least heard of Smarty. This was my first experience with it as a developer designer. And, you know, it extracts the sort of presentation layer, HTML, out from the PHP code. And that made it really easy to, like, comfortably go in and kind of tear it apart and make it look like it blended in with everything else. And we definitely pulled that off. And we added this thing that we called the user bar. And this was at the top of every page. This is at the bottom here. So that it had your status and then links to sort of like my friends, my groups, my profile, etc. So that was persistent everywhere in the site. So Seed Users was the name that we gave, or we just used internally to describe campus community people that we wanted to get involved with the social network. And it's kind of a weird name. I'm glad we didn't use it publicly. It sounds kind of creepy. But so the way that we handled this is similar to the way that we used Banner as sort of a secondary source. For the case of current students, faculty, and staff, they logged in against their email username and password, and we did a similar account reconciliation with them, except against our college directory as opposed to against Banner. So there was actually two different login interfaces happening and two different back-end sort of data sources happening, but the way that it was set up, it was seamless, and that was nice about the fact that it was all going into MySQL at the end, so from any given moment, it was the same code. We didn't have to write anything different for the social engine in order to accommodate that. So we had faculty, staff, and students. We debated for a little while as to whether or not, because we knew this social network was coming for the current faculty, staff, and students, and we're like, should it be the same profile for a faculty member or for a student, you know, like, that they're interacting with this audience, or should we keep them separate somehow? And I guess it didn't take that long to decide that we should keep them separate, just because these people that are interacting with incoming students have a very specific role in there, and you know, the kind of information or things that they might put on their profile might not be suitable or, you know, perfectly chosen for this audience. Also, we had to deal with the fact that, you know, if somebody commented on their profile that was a current student that was in the other system, like, how does that show and reconcile? So we ended up doing a distinct user account for all of those Seed users. And so we gave them this IC underscore username. That way, they were still distinct because our usernames are distinct, obviously. But it also helped because that username shows in the system, as you can see up on the bar there. And it helped to identify people who were Ithaca College as opposed to incoming students. Another thing I want to point out is this badge up next to Aaron's name that says IC Student Ambassadors. This was something that we added to Social Engine. It wasn't a huge customization. It was a little one. But we wanted to make sure that wherever there was a comment or a forum post or anything that was made by an Ithaca College person, that that badge showed very clearly so that there wasn't kind of a confusion. Because there are obviously current students. If you weren't like reading their profile carefully, you could think that they were incoming students. I mean, there were actually a couple of people who thought that I was an incoming student, and I'm clearly not. So it was helpful. Just in terms of activity and the numbers of people that we got involved, we had some Seed users that were involved in previous years, just basically like available to answer questions via email and things. And so we knew some people who were interested in being involved, and we targeted them at first and made sure that we had sort of the key players from the different offices that interact with incoming students involved. So that ended up being 45 faculty and staff. We had a member of the web team who works in marketing communications sit down with all of them, either in small groups or individually, and show them the tool, help them get used to it. We had a QA instance where they could go in and create all kinds of weird things on their profile and play around, and it wasn't the same as the production instance. So that was helpful. They actually enjoyed that a lot. And we made sure that people had a specific role and responsibility. So in the forum, there was some moderation privileges that were assigned based on the topic of the forum categories, as well as some people who were just sort of charged with, hey, you know, find people who are your major and reach out to them and try to, you know, answer any questions they might have or that kind of thing. So in January, so this started in like mid-November, and then in January we added 80 students. And that was the best thing this year. We're adding them right from the beginning. The students were amazing, like amazing. Couldn't have asked for anything better. They were super involved and really, really interacting. And we chose people who were like the president's host and some other selected. We would ask the deans to have the departments choose students that they thought would be good representatives of the major and things like that. So it wasn't arbitrary choice as to who we selected, but. Having gone through that process, it really paid off because the students were an amazing resource. Once they were in there, all the administrative staff and admissions staff, they had to do like a third the amount of work or a fourth the amount of work because all of a sudden the students were like, bam, 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 answering every question. And it was like, oh, they got it totally right. And then if you had to say, oh, and also here's this other little detail or something, you know, if you have more questions, call us, et cetera. Just a little stat, top 20 Seed users, which only included 6 students, actually, logged in 3,135 times. I'm not sure how exciting that stat is. Anyways, so what happened? Let me start by saying that, as I had mentioned, one of the problems we had with the vendor product was that we couldn't get the data out of it that we really wanted to be able to show that it was a success or that it was worthwhile or how it impacted our enrollment. And so by having it in our own databases, we had like every piece of information you could ever imagine wanting. So to the point where it was absurd. But, you know, pretty much any activity that you took as a student in the social network was logged. And we created a special interface for admission and institutional research to be able to do extracts. And those extracts could be based on time or on majors, genders, whatever. So there was like basically they could pull a lot of different data sets very easily, that proved to be incredibly useful. The woman who is responsible for this in IR like loves us. Every time she sees us, she's like, oh my God! She's still really excited. And we're like, wow, that was cool. So here's some general numbers just to see so you can get a sense for how this happened. So this was like November 15th was the very early accepts. Through until the end of the summer, essentially, when they came to campus. Overall, there was 192,000 logins. There were 84,562 wall comments made. And these are just students to students. And that seemed to be the most popular feature. People would just have, you know, these conversations right out in public. And I'd be like, oh, really? You should use private messaging for that. Come on. But it says something about the fact that people felt comfortable in the environment, and or it just says something about people that are young these days. I'm not sure which. It's probably a little bit of both. Friendships-wise, there was 52,000. That represents one for every pairing. So it's not like somebody added, somebody accepted. Private messages was definitely used. Profile photos, that was how many there were at the close. And I think that number fluctuated at times. Album photos, groups wasn't super popular. I think it was like Facebook groups. It was like, oh yes, I like the TV show House. Great, it's listed on my profile. Now I'm done. You know, that was about the whole scope of the group. So there was a lot of features in the group that were not really that important. It was basically like an affinity badge on my profile, essentially. There was 164 seed users in there at the end. Forum came a little bit later, but there was 133 topics. Most of them were started by students, although we did seed that a little bit to try to get it started, get it moving. So this is a cumulative graph of friendships that were made over time. So if you look sort of in the middle, around when the deposit was due and things, there was kind of a hike in the frenzy to make friends, and then obviously it sort of got eased off by the end of the summer, which may just be that people were already friends with everybody, so there wasn't a whole lot of new friendships to make. This is a logins chart. I didn't understand this when I first looked at it, so just in case you're like me, the height is the total. And then it's broken down within proportionally by gender. So the lighter blue is males and the darker blue is females. So, you know, we had 1,800 distinct logins on one day. And this is sort of the overall arc. The dip is we have a yearly campus-wide power outage for a day. And then the spike is the first day of housing selection for special programs. So people were in there trying to find roommates and things, I suspect. Discussion topics were varied, but really it was mostly about like, hey, are you really coming? You know, I'm really coming. Are you? And, that actually ended up being the most interesting thing. Students were totally selling each other. Like they were convincing each other to come, you know, be like, oh yeah, you know, that college is okay, but like, it could be so much better. Oh, we could do this. Like, you know, just like really trying to like sell each other. And it was hilarious to watch and really, really successful. So, you know, the argument being that, you know, if people build relationships, they're more likely to feel like they have a relationship with the college, and then they're more likely to end up showing up on the first day. People talked about the different programs, lots of housing conversation, both to Res Life, and then between students, they were really interested in finding a roommate. And that in and of itself justifies this tool, because pretty much everybody came in already with their roommate being somebody that they considered a great friend, which, I mean, I think about my freshman year, it was like, oh God, who are these people I'm living with? You know, it was a horrible experience. So that's kind of huge. And I think that doesn't mean that they couldn't do that on Facebook, but like I said, it was a comfortable, kind of controlled environment, and I think that people really used it and felt like they could trust the relationships that they were making. Financially, discussion, thankfully nobody was saying, oh, what was your package, or, you know, oh, Ithaca totally shafted me, or whatever. So for the most part, we were worried about that. I wasn't, but the people in financial aid were, and it didn't end up being a problem. And then really there was a lot of discussion about, are you going to leave your boyfriend when you come? A lot of it. This was some of the stuff that would happen, like on the walls, you know. Be like, oh God. Probably, because the boyfriend could see. There you go. That's right. So, in terms of how it all ended up, because obviously these students are here now, the targeted incoming class was 1,600 to 1,750, and this was, we were shooting a little bit high because obviously. as most colleges are experiencing, this is sort of a weird financial time. Everybody's a little scared. Are we going to get enough students? So maybe we'll aim a little high and hope for the best, and then we'll get a reasonably sized class. The actual incoming class was over 2,000 considerably, and which is a really awesome thing for us and a really awful thing for a lot of other people. It was like, I was like, hey, did you see how great the numbers were? And the woman from like housing was like, I hate you. Like, we have 500 people we can't house or whatever. So good and bad, but at least we have a sense for how that all worked out. This stat, I'll just be honest with you, the admission people were sort of like, when it got to this part, they were like, I don't know if we like you saying that particular thing. I was like, this is a conference, guys. It's academic. But anyways, so this is a little bit misleading, but basically 45% of accepted students, meaning all the people that were admitted, were active in the social network. And of those, over half of them chose Ithaca. And if you know the numbers, it basically means that over 90% of the students who ended up matriculating were active in the network. The participation rate was very, very high. We definitely exceeded our enrollment goals, and everybody was really, really happy in admission. Now, I have to say, that wasn't obviously the only initiative that we took to try to increase enrollment, but it was definitely a big one, and a lot of effort went into it. Just some quotes that I pulled literally off of my wall, and I don't even know why anybody would bother to look at my profile, but they did, apparently, and I had probably 35 or so that I just took the first six. But the first one probably says it the best. You know, the more friends I make on here, the more inclined I am to go to Ithaca. And it really ended up being that, so we were excited. Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about how we transitioned them into the current student faculty staff portal. And the issue of alumni for us, we haven't really gotten that part yet. And it's largely because we have advanced and we've never really been able to get it so that we can access that data from a login perspective or from an account perspective. It's sort of stupid the way that it's set up or something, I'm not sure. But so that's our next step, and if we can do it to push this class through when they graduate, that's great because they've used it all the way through, but we'll see. Wish me luck. It's not going to be easy. So as I mentioned, we have this other product called My Home at Ithaca, and this is newer, obviously, than My Ithaca, and we built it, it launched 2 years ago, and 2 years ago? 1 year ago. Yeah, 1 year ago in August, and it's our portal for faculty, staff, and students. We took a very different tact on this. It's sort of like nothing like you'd expect a normal institutional portal to be. It was, 90% Google homepage with lots of widgets that were IC related off the bat. Not a lot of information, not a lot of student self-service kind of access. We came at it from the other end. But as of this class matriculating, we wanted to make sure that all of these wonderful friendships that we had facilitated, et cetera, didn't just go away. It could have just gone away, but just to help ease the transition and also sort of as, I guess, an experiment largely, we ended up integrating it so that we have the same social engine software integrated into our current faculty, staff, and student portal. We converted their user profile. We gave them a little warning that this was going to happen so that they could remove stuff that they didn't want their current students to see. Their friend connections were all maintained. We left their wall comments and photo galleries. And so their username became their IC username because that's the standard. And we added a profile field that had their IC peers' username in it so people could still search. Or if they're looking at their friends list and they're like, who's John Smith? And they could say, oh, it's soccer guy 31 or whatever. I'll make that correlation. Some other things that were interesting, though, when we started to move people over was this issue of FERPA. And people understand the basic privacy, don't let anybody know that I'm here kind of thing. And that was an interesting challenge because suddenly we had to accommodate for that, whereas in the incoming social network, we didn't. And so it ended up being worthwhile because now people can be, judicially removed from the community and they just don't see it. But we actually made it for FERPA students if they wanted, because it's sort of a weird hybrid. It's not the public website, so it is sort of it's login only and things. So we made it so that they could opt into the community. Obviously, we had to work with student affairs and make sure that this was legally sound. But we made it so that they could opt into the community even if they were FERPA, so they didn't have to be deprived of that tool set just because they didn't want to be exposed to the outside world. So this is just a picture of my profile, again, in the my home at Ithaca. And it looks different, but it's the same software. And just for a note, we did the same thing with faculty and staff where there's certain information like you know, my position, my department, email, et cetera, stuff that was pulled in, and that's reconciled automatically. And other stuff, obviously, I can fill out, like my favorite music. So I wanted to leave about 10 minutes for questions, if there were any. Oh, right, sorry. Please use the mic
so that we can
master.
I'm wondering what communications you use to drive them into this online community in the first place.
Yeah, there was a pretty big push as part of the accepted student packet. So we included a fair amount of information in that physical mailing that went out. There was also a kind of a wave of emails that were, you know, sort of pushing people to become part of the network. That we sent out, you know, not too frequently, but along the first couple months, I think. And I don't know to what extent people were, you know, pushing it from, like, the phone, because I don't have much involvement with that. But it was definitely a broad enough initiative that people were recommending it from different angles. And Res Life would say, oh, you know, you should get on ICPers. You might be able to find a roommate or whatever. So.
Did you have anything to do with, like, the moderating of things, or did that have to come into effect? Some old-style administration get concerned about comments that might get put on.
It's a great question. Me, personally, no. We had a woman that works sort of on the web team. She's admission enrollment-focused, and she was sort of the moderator. We had people, as I mentioned, in forum topics that were moderators in a more traditional forum kind of sense. We didn't remove or edit anything ever the entire time. There was no content that we found unacceptable. There's a report this content link, you know, basic on everything. And the only report we got the entire time was on this photo in some, it was a girl who was a musical theater major, and there was like a photo of like, you know, from the bottom of the stage, and it was like can dancers, and you know, their leg was like woo, and somebody thought that that was like offensive or something. So that was the only complaint we got. Not to say that there wasn't a lot of work from a keeping things moving, making sure people got their questions answered. That was a gigantic undertaking. But in terms of dealing with people abusing it or saying things they shouldn't, that just didn't happen.
I have a question for you. So I noticed that you decided, or imagine that you made the decision to let them choose their username.
Mm-hmm.
And so I imagine there was some thinking behind that, and I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Yeah, actually, that choice, you're right, we do let them choose. That choice actually comes from the original design of the portal before the social network ever came into play. So when they first create an account with the college, we just let them choose a username. And we thought about maybe saying, do you want to change it or have a different username for the social network? And we just thought that that might add a layer of confusion, and there was some technical stuff involved, and nobody ever asked to change it. So if that worked out. I mean, they could have asked.
So I'm curious about the ambassadors. Was it a purely volunteer type situation, or were they paid for their involvement?
It was purely volunteer, and you know, we set a pretty clear expectation about what we were looking for from them in terms of you know, we had things like don't let a question go unanswered for you know, more than two business days or something like that. We actually wrote a report which told the our sort of system person that was monitoring it, who Wetseed users had email or private messages in their inboxes that were more than 2 days old. Just not, we don't know what they said because of private message, but we could at least ping them and be like, hey, you know, there's some information waiting for you.
How long did it take you to put this together, and how many people did you have working on it?
That's a good question. Assuming that we're not talking about the My Ithaca portal, because that part was already in place, but in terms of setting up the social network and getting it integrated, I would say it was about a three or four month undertaking, and there was primarily two people involved. One is a designer, and one was a programmer. And the programmer did most of the data sync stuff and the session integration. And then the designer did most of the skinning just to make it blend in. And it might have stretched out a little over time because there was a lot of waiting for decisions and things, but that was about the work effort involved. Other questions? Cool. Well, thank you. It was a great opportunity to talk about this. Great.